This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to Mars, but we start here on Earth because it is fundraising July for Bob Zimmerman's site. His explication of what we're about to hear in low Earth orbit, that would be the Russians, what we're expecting to see in on the moon, that would be the U.S., and what we know now, right now, on Mars, that would be the U.S. and China, comes to you thanks to Bob's Behind the Black. So your generosity is much appreciated. For $35, Bob will correspond with you, answer your questions about the Roscosmos and about Mars, and you will also receive one of Bob's four ebooks. So we begin today with a story that is, it's a good story. It's a positive story. It's about the future and exploration and commercial space. Bob, SpaceX, what is Europa Clipper?
Yes, John. Good morning. Good evening. Yes, Europa Clipper is a planetary probe that NASA is building to go to the Europa moon of Jupiter. Europa is one of the more intriguing moons because it's thought very strongly to have an underground liquid ocean. It's got lots of ice on the surface. In fact, there are whole sections of the surface that look almost like the North Pole ice cap, floating ice cap with breakers and cracked sections of ice. But there's no liquid we can see. And so there's a lot of mysteries there. And so Clipper is set to go to Jupiter. And for years, Congress had mandated it had to go on the SLS rocket. Well, the SLS rocket ain't going to be ready on time, and it costs $1 billion to the planetary program, which they can't afford. So finally, after much lobbying, NASA was able to convince Congress to loosen that requirement. They did so in their most recent budget passed in like January. And this past week, they announced they've awarded the contract to SpaceX for $178 million, that's a fifth the cost, to use their Falcon Heavy rocket to send Europa Clipper to Jupiter. It will launch in 24 and arrive in 2030. Granted, it's going to take longer. It's going to have to do a bunch of flybys of the Earth and Mars to get there. This will be longer than what SLS would have done, but SLS wouldn't have been there, so this is the best way to do it. And so they won that contract, John.
Falcon Heavy, Bob, that has already proved its worth. Is that correct? They've used it repeatedly.
Yes, Falcon Heavy is an operational rocket that has flown, I think, I might have my number wrong off the top of my head. I think it's been launched three times successfully, no failure so far. And so they've won that contract from NASA, and NASA is paying them a much higher fee than they normally charge for Falcon Heavy because they're going to be using all new boosters, and it'll be, the most safest version of Falcon Heavy to make sure this gets launched. You don't want to lose a billion-dollar planetary probe like this because it takes so long to build. But that's the case. Yes, this is operational. It's already been flying, something that SLS has not been.
You know, Bob, I imagine a day when you're going to go shopping for a booster, and it'll be like Gasoline Alley. You go in the back and you hear a guy hammering away on metal and you go, how much is this one? How much is this one? And you go, well, you can have this one really good. It doesn't have any fins. Yes, so what? You can put the fins on yourself. It's easy.
John, to a certain extent, that's exactly how SpaceX has been running its operation. It's one of the reasons they've still gained so much market share, because that's exactly what they do. You know, you want to use launch with a reused booster, you pay X. You're willing to pay more, you get a new booster. You know, all various kinds of things that, you know, that save money. And yes, that we're getting to that point now. When the herd of new launch companies starts to produce in the next 2 years, it's going to get very much like what you say.
Mr. Bezos is a very well-to-do man, and he's decided that he wants to get to the moon before anybody else, and the way he's going to do that is put cash on the table. Bob, I love this. This is the way we used to do business. When you wanted to build the railroad, you put your money down and Congress paid attention to you. So has Bezos at this point confirmed that he's going to get the contract, or is this just an opening?
No. No, this is lobbying. This is lobbying. Let me explain from the start. NASA wants a private company to build the manned lunar lander they want to use in 2024, assuming that date happens, to put you Americans back on the moon. And they originally had planned to, they had three bidders, three companies bidding, and they originally wanted to award the contract to two different companies so they'd have redundancy and they'd have two different landers. This is very similar to what they're doing with their unmanned lunar landers. They've given out like 10 different contracts, multiple landers. Saves money. It's cheaper, et cetera. You get redundancy. But Congress didn't give them the money they thought they needed to do that. So when they finally came time to award the bid, they could not afford to give contracts out to two different companies. They're not legally allowed to give out contracts for more than it's appropriate. That's appropriated. And so NASA looked at the three bidders. That was SpaceX and Blue Origin. SpaceX was one. Blue Origin was leading a team of companies, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Draper as partners for the second. And the third company called Dynetics. And they looked at the three contracts. They rated SpaceX number one in cost. It was the cheapest bid in technical support. It's already it's already doing test flights of its Starship, which it wants to use. And so they gave the contract just to SpaceX. And so both Blue Origin and Dynetics have protested the award. They said, for one thing, the NASA had actually was supposed to give the contract out to two companies, and it didn't do that. And to second, NASA, in giving the award to just SpaceX, had actually talked to SpaceX about could it adjust its price slightly to deal with that. And they didn't talk to Blue Origin or Dynetics. And so they protested. And the protest, GAO will rule on that protest on August 1st. Well, now, this is today. This is this week's story, which is Bezos has now offered to waive $2 million in payments in his team's lunar lander contract. Their price was way higher than SpaceX's before any of this happened. It's one of the reasons they lost. So now he's saying, I'll drop $2 billion. I'll put the money down myself out of his pocket because he is the world's richest man, and he's got something like $10 billion in cash in his pocket that he's made by selling off Amazon stock. He's got more cash than he knows what to do with it. So he's made this offer. Now, there are legal issues here because it could be construed as a bribe. And that actually has been in the courts previously with previous contracts. Now, I don't know if that's the case here. It's got to be argued. It doesn't change the technical decision by NASA. NASA still found that Blue Origin's team's proposal was not as technically inferior to SpaceX. Not only couldn't it put as much payload in orbit, they hadn't even started building it yet. It's just a design concept. And while SpaceX is flying, and so that doesn't change that. And so I don't know what will happen. And my expectation is on August 4th, the GAO will rule in favor of SpaceX and NASA, and the country will stay the same. But even if they change that, John, the real bottom line here is Jeff Bezos is he's going to spend $2 billion, give up $2 billion of profit, he says, to get this flying. And I once again wonder, why is he giving money away in places that won't help his company produce better? He should start building things. His New Glenn rocket hasn't launched. It's 2 years behind schedule. The engine that's key to it and also ULA's Vulcan rocket remains still unflown, and we don't have flight-worthy engines yet. And so he's got to start building things. And enough of this political gamesmanship. I'm not arguing that he shouldn't get the contract. I would argue that I want competition. I'd love him to be competing with SpaceX successfully. But right now, I don't see him doing it. That's my complaint.
Bob, there is something else going on here, which is competition having to do with space and very well-to-do people. That we saw that in the suborbital contest between Branson and Bezos. So I have to believe that this is no longer about building things. This is about prominent headlines. It happens, Bob.
Oh, yes, I agree with you, but this is the problem I see with Bezos, because, you know, Musk doesn't do these games. He doesn't do these kind of games. He focuses on getting money for his company to function and build things. There seems to me much less of an ego trip from Musk in this matter than Bezos. This is Bezos. His ego is hurt because he didn't win the contract, but he hasn't been producing anything. It's his company making progress.
I'll remember the day where Bob's said that Musk's ego isn't as large as Bezos.
It's less than Bezos, I'm telling you right now. There's no question.
The Russians, and updating Nauka, Bob. When last we talked, there was concern that Nauka wasn't going to work. What is Nauka?
Well, Nauka is the new full-size module that the Russians have been building for a quarter century for ISS. It's about 14 years behind schedule. They finally launched it last week. It had initial engine issues that prevented it following the original plan for docking. And they spent a few days struggling with this issue and apparently got things working, and it is now in process to docking on the 29th of July, later this week. What's changed that really tells us things are actually in good shape is that it's going to dock at a port at ISS that had been occupied for the last 20 years by what they call the Piers module. Piers means pier, as in a docking pier, on Earth. And Piers was launched back in 2001, as a temporary module to provide the Russians extra docking ports on ISS. And it was only supposed to be up there for a few years, 1 or 2, 3 years, until a new module was launched, which essentially is Nauka. Well, Nauka is so many years behind schedule that Piers had to stay there for 20 years. And so but the key here is that they were holding off on docking it and discarding it, having it burn up in the atmosphere, until they knew Nauka was going to arrive. And earlier this week, they undocked Piers after a delay of 2 days, and they sent it off. It fired its engines, and it's burned up in the atmosphere. That decision to undock Piers and lose it means the Russians are extremely confident Nauka is going to dock as planned. And so that's good news, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's fundraising July for Bob Zimmerman. And when we come back, we're going exploring on Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashir.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.